Greetings and welcome to our study on 2 Timothy. We're in chapter 3. We're going to begin with verse 1. The real theme of 2 Timothy is sound doctrine. And as we've seen, chapter 1 really had a focus on the need to hold on to sound doctrine. Chapter 2, the focus was more on teaching sound doctrine. It wasn't enough just to know it. It wasn't enough to just hold on to it. That it had to be something that was taught. And he closes that with talking about the idea of being patient and kind and gentle. Chapter 3 begins with the idea that trying to teach things patiently and kindly and with gentleness is not going to be easy, because we also have to live it. And living it is not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy to do this. It's not going to be easy. Because he says that there will be two things. Verse 1, mark this. There will be terrible times in these last days. And he closes verse 5 with, have nothing to do with them. Now, understand verses 1 through 5 is one long sentence in the Greek. And the whole middle section from about the middle of verse 2 through the end of verse 4 is kind of a parenthesis, and so he opens and closes with, there'll be terrible times in these last days, note this, mark this, and have nothing to do with that. And so that becomes the focus of what he wants them to know, that this, in this sentence, that there's going to be these terrible times coming. And he says there'll be these terrible times. That the word terrible means grievous or painful. There's going to be painful periods in these last days. Now, a lot of times we get to this word last days and we think about the days just before Christ's coming again. And that's obviously not what Paul's talking about. Timothy won't be around then. He knows that. He's not going to be around. Timothy's not going to be around. And so he's not talking about that. What he's talking about is this idea that between the time of Jesus's coming and the time of Jesus' coming again, these are considered the last times. We don't know how long they will last. It's been nearly 2,000 years already, and it could be another few minutes, another few months, another few years, another few decades, another few centuries. We have no idea. No man knows when this last time is going to end. When Jesus comes again and says, that's it, we're done. Judgment now, everything's going to be started anew. And so there'll be these terrible, grievous, painful periods during these last days. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, we see the beginning of these last days. And then we conclude that at the end of Revelation when he says, come, Lord Jesus, come again. And so he says, in these terrible days, in these last days, people will be lovers of themselves. And that is the general phrase that really summarizes the rest of what this section covers. Lovers of themselves. They are self-loving. It means that they're more interested in themselves than they are in God. And this lovers of selves really contradicts what Paul is looking for in Timothy. These terrible times are going to be marked by these people who are self-centered, self-oriented, are concerned only about themselves. But then he goes in and he lists these several things that help further define what these lovers of selves are like. He says that they are lovers of money. It's a natural result. If you love yourself, that you're going to love money, because it's what marks everything. I heard a description of this person as being like a hedgehog that rolls up on itself. The belly of the hedgehog is soft and very warm and very pleasant. And on the outside, you have these sharp spines. And so basically, a self-lover is one who rolls up and keeps all the good part to himself. And what he presents to the rest of the world are the sharp, pokey spines that no one enjoys. So these lovers of themselves are first lovers of money. And then he says that they're boastful. or boasters. These are people that are quick to advertise things, perhaps make things up. The word really was identified as a person who peddles medicine. The person that made up the medicines that were taken all over the country, and talked about how this heals everything and rub this on your elbow, everything's fine. And the word we get from that is quack. They're a quack. Well, quack is kind of the idea of someone who's broadcasting something that really turns out not to be true. And that's really what he's talking about here. Someone who is broadcasting things that aren't true. Boastful, he says, and then proud. People who are overbearing. They push. They believe they know better than everyone else. The next word is abusive. Idea is the thought of harming other people. That's where we get the word blasphemer from. He talks about those who are disobedient to their parents. And that really what is how does this fit in with everything else? We're talking about adults here, aren't they? Well, it's seen in this idea that you're not going to listen or follow or be obedient. If you're not going to listen, and I've learned this, if you don't listen to parents, you're not going to listen to God. And people that don't listen to God are often ones that didn't want to care for what anybody, including their parents, told them. Ungrateful or unthankful. They weren't appreciative of what their parents did for them. They're not appreciative of what anybody does for them. There's just no common gratitude to anyone. Unholy. This idea that they don't care about what God says. They reject divine sanction. They even lack natural affections for God the way parents do for children or children for their parents. They just don't care. They've become unholy. It says without love. They are irreconcilable. They don't care. They don't care about other people. They are slanderous. Because they don't care about people, they're unloving, they don't have any hesitation to say things that are harmful or hurtful. No self-control. They're unrestrained. They're brutal. The idea of being untamed. They're not going to listen. They're not going to settle down. They're not going to let anyone give any control over them. Not lovers of good or unloving toward what's good. Treacherous. They're traitors. You can't count on them. Rash. Reckless, know-it-alls, conceited people, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And this idea of having a form of godliness but denying its power is probably the worst description. Here's someone who wants to pretend that they are righteous, wants to pretend that they're good people. So they take on a form of godliness, but they really don't care. They really don't have godliness inside of them. And so Paul here begins this section with this idea, this concept that in the last days, there's going to be people like this. People who have lost all care and concern about others. And they're only concerned about themselves. And because of that, you can't trust their motives, you can't trust their purposes, you can't trust what they're doing, and instead, what they're going to spend their life doing is try to harm. They're going to try to take advantage of, they're going to try to cheat, they're going to try to hurt others. They move forward by hurting others rather than trying to express themselves or move themselves forward in a positive way. They'd rather tear other people down so that they don't seem so bad in comparison. And Paul is warning Timothy here, listen, these are the kind of people that make times grievous, make times terrible. And it really, because of that, it really causes you to think back to what we talked about in the previous chapter, that you're trying to teach truth. And when you're trying to teach truth, you're going to have people who defect, who leave, who decide to flip things around, who will discover that like people in the world, they can use religious things in a way to cheat other people, take advantage of other people. It seems strange to us. It always seems strange to me when Paul warned the church, Christians, about people who tried to use in their religion, tried to use it to gain financially. And I just never understood that. I always thought of Christians as being righteous people who are trying to please God. And you would never think to cheat other people. And in fact, if anything, you would act in a way that it would be to your own harm. It would be to your own loss. If what was best for the church, or what was best for our congregation, or what was best for Christ's efforts in this world, or what was best for another Christian, was harmful to me in some capacity, I would still do that, because what's best for them and those other things are much more important than what's best for me. And so there would be no question that Christians, if amazing a congregation would be, as if everyone was looking around, how can I make it best for you? But then as we have gone along, what we see too often is the part where people are taking advantage of the situations and congregations to get what they want. They'll manipulate things. They will put things in a way, or complain in a way, that everything is designed to please them. And in fact, I think there are times when in our modern thought process of wanting to be as big as possible, to have as many brethren as possible, that we're too reluctant to confront and even reject people who want to use their contribution, or want to use their attendance, or want to use their influence in a way to harm if they don't get what they want. And too often we don't want that to happen, and so we will go ahead and yield. We'll go ahead and allow. And I think what happens is then the church is harmed because people who do not have the heart of God, the servant leadership mentality of putting others first, even in their own harm, may not become the actual leaders in terms of position, but become the actual leaders in terms of power. They are the ones that have the most influence. They have the most control. And what they're doing is basically imitating these people in the world that Paul is warning Timothy about. Here are these terrible times, these terrible seasons are going to come, where people are so self-concerned that they will do all kinds of things that are wrong. And in doing those things, we would think, well, naturally we'll reject that. And yet sometimes that's hard. And that's why he says, have nothing to do with them. You're better off to have a purer group in which you're a part, a purer congregation. And it's easy for us to look back and say, you know what, that's true back in Paul and Timothy's day. It'd be important for Paul to purify Ephesus rather than being concerned. But today we got to be more practical. And I wonder if we were able to look back in time and wonder how many congregations are in a less than ideal situation right now, because in the recent past, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years ago, they put up with someone or something that they shouldn't have. And in doing so, it has formed or molded their congregation in a way that is not ideal, is not what they really wanted long term. And it's their the group that came behind them, they're paying for the fact that people were endured, and by enduring them, by putting up with them, letting them have their way and their say, suddenly that became the norm. Suddenly, other people with that mentality gathered. and said, I want to be a part of that church because I want to be a part of that congregation where I can complain and get my way. The elders will always respond, or the leaders will always respond, or whoever gives the most gets their way. I've seen congregations like that. I've seen the consequences of putting up with things and how harmful that becomes. And the idea is, we're going to make this better for us, but in the end, it never works. It's something that is harmed. But anyway, we're going to close this section. See, my time is short, so before jumping into this next controversial area, just be reminded of these first five verses Timothy is encouraged. You're not just going to hold on to sound doctrine or teach it, but you've got to live it. And if you think that's going to be easy, it's not. Because there's going to be people who are lovers of themselves who are going to try to push you into a more convenient, self-protective mode, and you need to have nothing to do with them. Well, until next time, that's our study. I hope you have a blessed day.